So we've got two, Jenny and I, in this ministry. And I tell you, I think, again, I said it, but I say it a lot. I think we have a phenomenal children's program here at Faith Point that really nurtures our kids in the Christian faith and life so that they might become a fully committed follower of Jesus. So every week, Wendy and her volunteers corral all these kids, and it's a wonderful thing. So hey, again, I want to say welcome and happy Easter. We are so glad that you're here. And if I haven't said it yet, I also want to invite you back. If you do not have a church home, or if you've been searching for a church, we call this church a family. And we would love to have you come and check out our family to see if this might be the kind of place that you too could call home. Because we have one mission in mind. There's one thing that guides everything that we do. And it's simply this, to make more and stronger disciples or followers of Jesus. That's what we do. We want people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus so that they might discover his abundant love, his grace, his mercy, so that together we might find new life and impact our world for the cause of Christ. So as I was thinking about where do I want to go this morning, I only have a few minutes to talk with you, but there was a question that came to my mind as I was thinking about today, and it was just simply this. What does it mean? What does Easter mean to you? As a matter of fact, we were watching the news last night, and one of the guys asked, stopped people on the street and asked them, "Well, what's Easter?" And asked them, "Well, what's Good Friday?" And it was actually alarming for me how many people didn't know, and that shows me how important our task is, people. It shows me how important it is for us together to share the good news of Easter, because it is good news that God has called us to share. The Easter story is told in every single one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But there's another place that the Easter story is told, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And I want to share these with you and then just share a few thoughts about that. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place." He says, "I passed on to you what was most important and what has been also passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And then he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him." Easter. For those of us who believe in Jesus, Easter is our defining day. It is the day that the world changed. Easter is the most significant day of the entire year for believers in Christ. But what does it mean? If I were to ask you, what does Easter mean? Would you be able to answer the question? See, because the people around us, the people that live near us, the people maybe in our own family, many of them do not know what Easter really means. And so I want to share with you what I think are just some very simple, basic truths about what does Easter mean. First and foremost, it means that God took action. God took action. You see, we are all share a common universal problem. Every single one of us has a condition that we are actually born with that needs to be fixed. Every single one of us is born with this propensity towards sin. Look what Romans 3:23 says. The Apostle Paul, the same guy who wrote those passages that we read just a few moments ago, he says this, "For everyone has sinned. Everyone, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." So God knew that something needed to be done. Because we all miss the mark. Every single one of us, without exception, misses the mark. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So what do we do with that? More importantly, though, first, what do we see that God has done about that? The first truth that I want to share with you about God taking action is this, and we say this all the time, God's love is great. His love is great. We talk about his love being unconditional, meaning there's nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less than he already does. That before we were even created, God loved us. Before we even took our first breath, God loved us. That no matter where we've been, what we've done, God loves us. No matter who we are, God loves us. It is his nature. It is his number one attribute. It is what defines him, that he is love. And when we read the scriptures, we discover that love is great. 1 John 4:9. "For God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him." We read this all over the place. For God so loved, for God so loved, for God so loved, that he took the initiative. That out of the love that he has for us, God sent his Son. He took action to fix a problem that all of us have. And in that, we see that God's love is great. A second attribute that we see is that God's grace is good. Not good by our understanding, but good by a divine, eternal good. That his grace, in other words, God giving us what we don't deserve, is so good, the only way we quantify it is Easter. His grace, God giving us what we don't deserve, is so magnificent that the only way that we really, truly, completely see it is that Jesus died on the cross and got off the cross for us. In Colossians 2, 13 through 14, it says that God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross. You see, Easter is the reason we live. It's the reason we live today, and as believers in Jesus, it will be the reason that we live forever. Because his grace is so good. As a matter of fact, scripture says there's no one good, not even one, except for God. And so God's grace is good. His love is great. His grace is good. And a third attribute that we see is God's message is grand. You know, Easter is fun. It is a fun holiday, although I do not see the Reese's peanut butter egg that I usually get on my podium every Easter, so I'm missing that. That was a hint. But this message, see, Easter is more than the bunny. It's more than the baskets. It's more than the pretty clothes. It's more than the great news. It is so much more than that. Easter is about a message. It is about God's message to you and to me and to the rest of the world that what we're going to see in a moment demands a response. That message from Romans 1, 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." Now get this. This message, this good news, this love, this grace, this good news, we're told, tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Remember, we had a problem, but God took the initiative that this message makes us right in his sight. And this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And so what we see in these passages that we just read a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians 15 is that God's love is so great. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. The only way we can possibly attempt to quantify what that love looks like is to see what he did on the cross. We see that his grace is so good. God continues to give us what we don't deserve when really what we do deserve is punishment. Because let's just be honest. How much do we actually pay attention to the relationship with Jesus that we profess? But God loves us anyways. Not that he wants us to stay there, but he loves us no matter what. His grace is so much greater than we could possibly imagine. And the message that he says is, I can make you right. I can make you right in my sight. I can make you right so that today is not the end of your story, but the eternity is the end of your story. And God takes the initiative to do all of that. So the message of Easter, first and foremost, is that God took action. He took the initiative. So what? When God takes that kind of action, when God takes that kind of initiative, then we have to respond. See, we become followers of Jesus not just by attending church, not just by reading the Bible, not just by singing the songs. We become followers of Jesus by a choice that we make. Nobody makes it for us. Nobody can do it for us. But we have to make that decision for ourselves. We have to respond to the good news, the message that we read just a few moments ago. And we do this in three ways. We respond when we receive the message of Easter. In other words, when we hear the story, it is our opportunity to respond. The Apostle Paul says in other places in Romans, he says, how will the world know if nobody told them? How will people come to faith if nobody shows them? See, we have to hear the story. It's one of the reasons why I share with parents all the time. Your number one responsibility, parents, listen up. Your number one responsibility above all things is to raise your kids in the Christian faith and life so that they might come to a faith decision on their own. It is the most important thing that you will do is to help your kids come to faith in Jesus. We should love them that much. That means that we are the ones who invest in our kids primarily, and the church comes along. They go hand in hand. Parents, that means you got to get your kids to church. Parents, that means that you've got to invest your story, God's story, into their story so that they might come to faith in Jesus. So we have to hear the story. Parents, we have to tell the story to our kids. Romans 10:17 again says, faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So part of the response is we got to hear it. The second part is that we have to believe it. We have a choice to make. We can either believe that the Bible is true or not. We can believe that the message of the cross is true or not. We can believe that Jesus died on the cross for us or not. We can believe that God so loved us that he gave us his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We choose to believe that or not. Amen. So we have to choose to believe the message of Easter. It is both an ascent of the head and the heart that our faith makes sense intellectually and it makes sense emotionally and relationally. So we have to receive that message and we have to believe that message. Romans 3:26 says that God makes sinners, that's us, he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Romans 10:10 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So if God takes the initiative to send his son, the message of Easter, then it requires us to make a response. We have to hear the message of Easter. We have to believe the message of Easter. And then third, and this is a challenging one, we cleave to the message of Easter. Now, I chose that word so intentionally because it denotes for us biblically this sense of being glued to, being fixed to, not being able to be pulled apart from. It means that you grab on and you hold on with all your might. No matter what comes before you, no matter how hard it is, you cleave to the message of Easter and you don't let go. 1 John 2:4 says, you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. See, our response is to be faithful. Our response is to cleave to this message. That means that we do things that intentionally feed that relationship with God and feed that relationship with our families. I know as a dad, my highest calling is to be the spiritual leader with my family and with my kids. And it means that it is my job to do everything to get my kids to come to faith in Jesus. Because see, we believe the Bible is true. In this church, we believe the Bible is absolutely true. That the only way to God is through his Son. Scriptures say there is one way to the Father, and it is through Jesus, the Son. And so we've got to cleave to this message of Easter. Hebrews 3:14 says, if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Do you notice that little two-letter word, if? That cleave means that we will share in this. We will experience the abundance of this grace and this love and this mercy with God if we cling to it. See, here's what we believe. We believe that even though you make a profession of faith, you can say, yes, I heard it. And you can say, yes, I believe it. But we believe that if you do not orient your life towards Christ, towards making a continual decision for Jesus, it's a decision you make that you continue to make. If you are not continually nurturing and feeding that relationship with Jesus, here's what you do. Step by step. And you could fall off, like I'm being careful not to. We believe that if you do not orient your life towards Jesus, if you do not fix your eyes on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says, you will fix your eyes on someone or something else. And that quite possibly will pull you away or push you away from a relationship with Jesus. So what does all that mean? If God's love is so great, and if God's grace is so grand, and if the message of Easter is so grand, if we receive this message, if we believe this message, if we cleave to this message, here's the rest of the story. Here is what Scripture would say to us post-Easter. This is good. I got to tell you, I love seeing all your faces out there. Do you know, for the first time ever, we ran out of parking places in our parking lot. I am so excited about it. I'm like, just park them anywhere. I'm so excited about that. To see the number of kids that we had up here, I am like, parents, way to go. Good job. God would say to you, parents who are continually getting your kids in our ministry, well done, my good and faithful servants, because your investment in what happens here will make an eternal difference in their lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to spend forever with my kids. Forever. And that means I have a huge job ahead of me. And that means you got a huge job ahead of you. Because it is your primary responsibility to help your kids experience and know Jesus so that you might spend forever with them. So if God took action and we respond, so what do we do then? And I think 1 John 5:21 has a great word for us. It says, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Could you actually say that with me? Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. So here's what you got to think about. On this Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection, where we celebrate for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What is taking the place in your heart today? Is there something or someone that has taken the place that God wants to take? You see, the early church fathers believed this. They believe that God created us with this God-shaped hole inside of us. Augustine said, and that hole will never be filled until it's filled with the presence of God. That means no matter how much money we have, how many toys we have, how many possessions we have, none of that stuff will ever fill that place until it's filled by the presence of God. And so today, I just want to ask you, with everybody looking up here, is there something or someone that has taken God's place in your heart? Is there anything in your life where God's not number one? Because he wants to be number one. Because see, it's in that abiding, continual, loving, grace-filled, mercy-filled message that we find life. There's a lot of thieves out there. Jesus says, the robber, the thief, comes to rob and to kill and to destroy. In other words, to get your heart on something else. But he says, I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. So I ask you one last time, because how you answer this question will not only affect the trajectory of your life, but parents, how you answer that question may affect the trajectory of the eternity of your kids. And so the message of Easter, God says, in this definitive way, I love you. And so the question is, will we say back, I love you too? Let's pray. God, I want to pray for all of us gathered here this morning. God, I believe that for many of us, there have been things or people or other things that have taken the place that only you can take in our hearts. And that has been leading us astray. That for some of us might be leading us even away from you. That might be leading us towards fixing our eyes on someone or something else that might have a devastating effect on us and the ones that we love so much. And so God, by the power of your love, through the power of your grace, through the message of Easter, which is new life, help us now, this day, this place, this moment, to say, God, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I'm not only going to receive the message of Easter, but I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to cleave to it with my last dying breath, that I will orient my life, or maybe reorient my life, so that you might look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So God, we thank you. We thank you for the message of the cross. We thank you that Easter is the reason we live today and forever as believers in Jesus. And all praise to God, to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by your great mercy, we have been born again because you raised Jesus from the dead. And now we live with great expectation that the resurrection has, in fact, changed everything. And so on this Easter morning, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said, amen.